Penguin Random House Audio presents Wonder Drug, The Secret History of Thalidomide in America and Its Hidden Victims. This is the author, Jennifer Vanderbess. For Annika and Ellery, and for all those who are not counted. Prologue. On a hot August night in 1962, Anne Morris felt her first contraction. Her husband, Doug, guided her out of their small Cincinnati apartment where a gleaming crib and piles of hand-sewn baby quilts had been arranged. Settling into their new Chevrolet, in anticipation of the baby, Doug had surrendered his beloved Corvette, the couple drove 5 minutes through the quiet, dark city streets to the Jewish hospital. In the labor ward, Anne's pain intensified, and her contractions continued into the next day. At 31, Anne, who had married Doug just a year earlier, was a little old to be having her first baby, but labor was progressing normally, and Anne, raised on a Kentucky farm where she picked tobacco and slaughtered chickens, was not one to wilt at discomfort. Her only complaint, in an otherwise easy pregnancy, had been morning sickness, and her doctor had given her a small white bottle of vitamins, which eased her nausea. When Anne awoke in the hospital after the baby's delivery, Doug entered the room, grim-faced. He told her that their newborn, a girl, was missing arms and legs. She was not expected to live long. The couple had a list of baby names, but now their first choice, Gail Elizabeth, seemed wrong. In fact, the whole list seemed off. They scrambled to come up with something and landed on Carolyn Jean. While Anne was sedated, the hospital arranged to place the girl in foster care and urged Doug and Anne not to even see her. Doug went home to destroy the photos he had taken of Anne gleefully preparing for the baby. Meanwhile, Anne remained alone in a private hospital room, away from other new mothers, until, finally, the delivering doctor appeared with an odd question. Had Anne gone to Canada and bought thalidomide? Anne had first read about thalidomide a week earlier in Life magazine. An article called "The Drug That Left a Trail of Heartbreak" showed page after page of photographs of armless infants in Europe. Anne had shuddered at the German tragedy, but felt no connection to it. She had never been overseas and told the doctor she certainly hadn't gone to Canada to get a drug. She gave the matter no more thought. Anne was never contacted by the FDA or by the Ohio or Cincinnati health authorities. No doctor or nurse from the Jewish hospital ever told her that within the past year, at least 4 other babies had been born at the same hospital with the same deformity, focomelia, a birth defect so rare that most doctors would never encounter a single case. And no one would tell her that the Cincinnati-based William S. Merrill Company, located at 110 East Amity Road, just 15 minutes across town from her home, had sent millions of thalidomide samples to more than 1,200 doctors across the country, including 200 obstetricians. For 3 years, these pills, in various colors and dosages, without proper labels, had been casually handed out for everything from insomnia to headaches to morning sickness. The baby, Carolyn Jean, survived. She spent almost a year in foster care until she was finally reclaimed by her parents. Despite all predictions, she thrived, becoming a professional artist and a mother of 4. Over the years, when people asked Anne what had caused her daughter's disfigurement, Anne would say, "It's just one of those things that happens." In July of 1962, a sleeping pill billed as the safest thing since water was revealed to have killed or disfigured more than 10,000 babies worldwide in the single largest Holocaust in medical history. Sensational images of legless, armless infants filled newspapers. Politicians admonished pharmaceutical firms. Pills of every kind fell under suspicion. At the peak of the baby boom, the bliss of impending motherhood became fraught with dread. Women unfortunate enough to have taken thalidomide, often consuming only a single tablet at the behest of their doctor, were cast as wayward druggies. And thousands of parents were left to raise children with such extreme and unprecedented physical malformations that the medical profession lacked any knowledge to assist. The question emerged, who should have protected the world from this catastrophe? What bureaucratic safeguards could have foreseen it? Was it an unavoidable accident of the era's chemical wizard?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?